Amen. Thank you, young people. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 5. Ephesians 1 and verse 5. And Brother Barry, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Together to worship you, Lord, the freedoms that we enjoy, Lord, the safety that we enjoy, and Lord, yeah, it also makes us think of those around the world that do not enjoy the freedoms and safety that we have, Lord, and we do ask that you give them strength, Lord, and that your word would just continue to go forth around the world, Lord, that people would come to know you, Lord, we see the things going on around us, Lord, and we wonder how soon it is that you may be coming, and our desire is that your word would go forth and people would be saved, and Lord, even in this country, as we continue to turn farther away from you, Lord, we desire to see a great awakening, Lord, and people's hearts turn to you. Amen. And Lord, we do not seek a political solution, but we seek a spiritual solution, Lord, that men would fear you. Yes. And Lord, we do ask that as we study your word this morning, continue to worship you, Lord, that you would encourage those that need it and teach those that need it, and Lord, you know, just what each one of us needs, Lord. May we be drawn closer to you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Ephesians 1 and verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. We've been looking at life and the blessings from God. And we're out down to number 4, he has adopted us. When we get saved, the Lord Jesus Christ adopts us. It says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. The word adopt, according to Merriam-Webster's 11th Collegiate Dictionary, means to take by choice into our relationship, especially to take voluntarily a child of other parents as one's own child. Well, how do we get to be a child of God? How do we get adopted by God? Well, if you hold your place here, let's turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. You know, adoption is an expensive process many times today. Very expensive. And isn't it sad how many little precious babies are aborted and killed? And you think, why charge exorbitant adoption prices when instead of murdering those babies, why not give them to families that want them so much? In John 1:10, he, Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as what? Received him. To them gave he power to become what? The sons of God. There's the adoption right there. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that what? Believe on his name. How do we receive him? He's in heaven. We're on earth. We receive him by faith. We believe on his name. So the adoption happens when we receive Christ as our Savior. That's how we get born again into God's family. Normally with adoption, though, there's some fear looking ahead. Because when a parent adopts a child, especially if it's very young, a baby, they're looking ahead and thinking, you know, one day this child is going to come to realize some things. And when do we break the news that we adopted this child? You know, children ask questions like, why don't I look like the rest of the family, the relatives? All kinds of questions. Ask questions about the past. Who's my grandmother? Who's my grandfather? And so parents are looking ahead and they're thinking about this. And so when do I tell the child? Do I start telling the child when the child is just like a primary? Just tell them. At an age where maybe it doesn't fully sink in, just explain adoption? Or do I wait until maybe they're 10 or 12? or our teenage years. But if I wait, or if I wait until even after high school and tell them when they're in their 20s, what might they do? Well, if you tell them in their teens, it's already sometimes a very trying period of time. And the parents may worry, well, if I tell them as a teenager that they're adopted, they may say, well, then you're really not my parents, and I'm not going to do what you say. I mean, that's a real fear with parents who adopt children. What if when I tell them, then they reject me as a legitimate parent? What do I do? What do I say? Or if I tell them this at a certain age, what if it throws them into a state of depression? Like, you mean my real dad and mom didn't want me? You're kidding. They didn't want me? And so parents think, well, what if it throws them into a state of depression over it, thinking that nobody really cares about them? Well, when we are adopted by God, do we have to worry about those things? No. Because in this case, our real, and I emphasize that, our real biological creator is God. The one who is adopting us is our real biological creator and father. He is the one that created mankind. Notice in Genesis 2. You know, we don't have to go through this thing about you're kidding. I was adopted. You mean my real parents really didn't want me? Well, that's not the feelings we have to have with this adoption with Christ. In Genesis 2:7, the Bible says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So it was God. God is our creator. He's our true father. Genesis 2:18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him. And then you drop down to verse 21, Genesis 2:21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he what? A woman, and brought her unto the man. So God created man. God created woman. Why is he called the great physician? Well, right here, he's the one that did the first surgery, right here. He's the first anesthesiologist. He caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he surgically removed a rib and closed up the flesh, and he made the woman to be a helpmeet for man. So, but sadly, Adam and Eve rejected their heavenly father and disobeyed him. Notice in Genesis 2:16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Isn't it something? You know, we have so many blessings. Why do we want the things we shouldn't have? God says here, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. No stipulations, like, you know, well, you can have one fruit off this tree, you know, in the morning, and one fruit off this tree in the afternoon. He said, of every tree thou mayest freely eat. Verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt what? Not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely what? Die. So God did, you know, so many people say God has so many rules. I could never stand to be a Christian. God didn't start out with even 10, did he? He started out with one. And that was just for man to prove his love and obedience to God, and man failed. You notice in chapter 3, Genesis 3, 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, what? Hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Watch out, because Satan is doing the same thing today, isn't he? He's trying to get people to doubt God's word. And that's what you have with a multitude of translations today. It's like people are saying, what did God say? We just stand on the King James Bible. I've found it to be a very fulfilling life of not taking the position of doubter, but taking the position of believing God's promise in Psalm 12, 6 and 7, that he would preserve his word pure for every generation. I've found that a very fulfilling perspective to take and to find many wonderful truths from God's word. So don't let Satan put doubts in your heart. And of course, we've got to read the word of God. How are we going to know what he said if we don't read it? Verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Well, that part she had right. Verse 3, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it. Well, she's right so far. But then she says, neither shall ye what? Touch it. There she failed. She added to God's word. I don't know whether Adam said something like that. You know, sometimes we say to our children, stay out of the road. Don't ride on the road with your bike. Don't even go near it. So sometimes we add things like that. Don't even go near it because we're afraid. You know, it's like, stay out of the mud puddle. But we see a little boy right next to it looking at it. What do we know? If he keeps looking at it, he's going to step in it. That's what we know. So we say, don't even go near the mud puddle. Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. Well, she had the die part right, but not the touching. Verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, what? Ye shall not surely die. There is Satan again. He just flat out denies the word of God. And so, be in the word of God. Believe the word of God. Verse 5, he goes on. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The young people just sang about learning. That song was about learning. And as we learn, we need to be learning in the word of God, because there are teachers and professors that will try to turn away the hearts of young people from God. Verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. Now, verse 6 is all this in the beginning of the verse is in her mind. The battle for us will be lost or won in the mind. We can't just let our thoughts go. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that's in her mind. It looks good. And that it was pleasant to the eyes. Oh, that's thoughts in her mind. And a tree to be desired to make one wise, that's thoughts in her mind. And those thoughts were mulling over what Satan had said. Eat it, you'll be wiser for it. Then it goes on, then she what then? Took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So if we allow temptation to circle in our minds, we will fall to that temptation. We have to cast down imaginations and every thought like that. So she took, and as it is with sin, when we sin, it always affects other people, doesn't it? Always. She sinned, and then she gave to her husband. She sinned, and then she tempted her husband to eat it, and he took it and ate it as well. So in that day, when man and woman rejected their biological creator, they placed themselves up for adoption under the most wicked, vile creature that's ever existed, and that is Satan. Notice in John 8:44, it was on that day, at that moment, it wasn't God rejecting Adam and Eve. It was Adam and Eve rejecting God. They put themselves up on the auction block to be sold to the most vile bidder, and that one was the serpent. That was Satan. That day, he became their father. John 8:44. Ye are of your father who? The devil. And the lust of your father ye will do. Isn't it sad that many times children of of parents that abused them grow up to abuse their own children. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. It's sick, isn't it? It's sick. It's vile. But it happens so much. What's the answer to that? They need to get a different daddy. They need to get rid of that illegitimate daddy, Satan, and go with their true biological creator, with God. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was what? A murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Imagine rejecting God, our true biological creator. Imagine rejecting him and thus being sold to the highest bidder, to a vile father who's a murderer, who's a liar. Can you imagine having a parent that is a chronic liar? Can you imagine having a parent that is a chronic murderer? Can you imagine having a parent that is a chronic lustful being? That's what Satan is, all wrapped up in one. So for all who reject the real biological creator, their father is Satan. In fact, we are born in sin since Adam and Eve sinned there. So the illegitimate one here, the illegitimate parent is Satan. He stepped in and stole Adam and Eve away from their true biological creator and father. Now, there are many evil people today, and some of it is just coming down right now, but there are many evil people out there that steal children away from their parents. I heard a figure the other day, and maybe I was confused, but it was like 400 and some thousand children in America kidnapped, stolen away, and today they refer to it as child trafficking. And so what is the biblical penalty for kidnapping and trafficking? Well, the Bible's clear. Look with me in Exodus 21. Exodus chapter 21 and verse 16. The Bible's very clear. You know, they found in these cities, if they make it very clear what the rules are, people straighten up. You know what? If we'd make it very clear what the biblical rules are in regard to kidnapping, it would be drastically cut down. Exodus 21, 16. And he that stealeth a man. And remember, kidnapping doesn't only happen to children today. There are women that are stolen away and trafficked. They are drugged up and sold for immorality and then kept under a constant state of drug addiction. And he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be what? Put to death. That's the answer for trafficking. Deuteronomy 24. Deuteronomy 24 and verse 7. Deuteronomy 24, verse 7. Once again, repeating this same truth. If a man be found stealing any of his brethren, that's kidnapping, that's trafficking of the children of Israel, and maketh merchandise of him. That's the trafficking part of it right here. They put them in a drug-induced stupor. They control them. They make merchandise, money off from them, or selleth him. Then that thief shall what? Die. And thou shalt put evil away from among you. So that should be the penalty. So sometimes, many times, there are real kidnappers out there. You know, when I was a boy, the majority of cars that went by our house, we knew who they were. They were our neighbors, and oftentimes you'd wave. And I, as a boy, I could ride my bicycle up and down the road. I could ride it a few miles away. We had a park, a county park, a few miles away, and I often rode my bike down there. But you know what? Today, that wouldn't be safe, not for a little child to do that today. because of so many of these people out there. So there are real kidnappers. But sometimes people kidnap and traffic people, steal children away from their parents mentally and spiritually. I've watched this happen. They go off to a secular university, and the professor in there tries to steal that child and kidnap that child mentally. They'll poison them against America. Where is all this socialism coming from in America? A lot of it is coming from the secular college campuses with all these liberal, ungodly professors that are trying to poison our young people against America. And they'll also try to poison them spiritually. They'll try to kidnap them spiritually. You get a Christian young person in a secular university, and the professor will ridicule the Word of God, will ridicule God, will ridicule morality, and try to brainwash them against God, try to destroy their faith. So Satan is the illegitimate father now of mankind, ever since the temptation in the Garden of Eden. So it's not God trying to entice people away from their real parents. God is our real biological creator and father, and he's seeking his people around the world. Notice in John 3:16. The Bible says, for God, what? So loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God is the opposite of Satan. Satan is pure evil. God is pure love. God is love. Notice in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth what? His love toward us. So that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So he's seeking the world to show his love. He's already shown it by giving his blood for us. So what do we need to do? Can you imagine a child who's been trafficked and rescued and sees his or her parents? What would you do? You've got your filthy, vile kidnapper, trafficker who has been controlling you for who knows how many days, months, or years, and you see your parents. What are you going to do? You're seeing pure evil, and you're seeing your parents. What are you going to do? You're going to immediately turn from that filthy, vile one. You're going to turn to your parents and what? You're going to run. You're going to flee for help. Well, that's the exact same thing that people in this world need to do. Notice in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. You know what? We have all of this religion in this world, but it seems like so little of this religion teaches repentance. So little so-called religion fails to teach, turn from that vile sin. Too often it's like, yeah, God doesn't care. Just put that vile sin right in your duffel bag, in your knapsack, and just, you know, take Jesus too and go on your way. No. Acts 3:19. What's the first word? Repent. Repent ye therefore and be what? Converted. That your sins may be what? Blotted out. When the times of what? Refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. Can you imagine that child who is trafficked, or that woman who has been bound in that trafficking situation, seeing a loving parent, a loving family? It isn't going to take her a second to turn from that and flee to the right thing. Why? Because with the true loving parents, there's a time of refreshment, finally, away from bondage. Well, that's the same way with salvation. It's a refreshing time. Repentance means turn. Turn. Can we clean up ourselves? No, but we can sure turn from sin. You'll never find a demon-possessed person in the Scripture who didn't have the power to turn and come to Jesus Christ. They always had that power. They needed Christ to cleanse them, but they always had the power to turn from the devil, to turn from the demons, and go to Christ. The devil cannot stop a person from turning from him. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. In verse 25. 2 Timothy 2, 25. Man should be glad for the chance to get away from Satan, to get away from sin. 2 Timothy 2, 25. In meekness, instructing those that what? Oppose themselves. There are so many people in this nation, whether it's politically or spiritually, they are opposing themselves. The things that they're standing for politically would destroy America if they got what they wanted. The things that they're desiring spiritually would do the same. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them what? Repentance to the acknowledging of what? The truth. Repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. That's what we need. I said to my wife, I said, these people that it kind of frustrates me, these debates and so on. And people are always asking the president questions just try to entrap him, just like they did with Jesus. Reverse it. Give me a conservative moderator and ask the person who stands for abortion, sir, ma'am, is it true that you stand for abortion? If they say yes, then I would say to them, sir, ma'am, it's a fact that over half of the aborted babies are black. Sir, ma'am, why do you hate black people? Because that is the fact. If they stand for abortion, they hate black people. Because there's not half of the people in this country that are black. So it's telling you there's a huge disproportion of abortions that kill black people. But people in their minds are so deluded. Ask them the same type of questions. We read it again, verse 25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of who? The devil. Who are taken captive by him at what? His will. There's a lot of talk about George Soros and a lot of other very evil people in this world. And sometimes, you know, sometimes people talk about Bill Gates and a lot of very wealthy people controlling the world. My friends, they are not controlling this world. They are nothing but puppets in the hand of Satan. Verse 26. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. They are being trafficked by Satan. That's the bottom line. So, our real biological father is waiting to adopt us. And so we think about it. Let's go back to Ephesians 1 and verse 4 and verse 5, Ephesians 1, 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Our real biological creator and father wants to adopt us. Just imagine that. It was we as mankind. It was mankind that disowned our Creator and Father. It was mankind that turned the other way. But it's God seeking to adopt His own creation. He loves His own creation. In John chapter 8, verse 32, John chapter 8 and verse 32, He's waiting. He's waiting to set us free. John 8, 32, and ye shall know what? The truth. And what? The truth shall make you free. What is truth? John 17, 17, thy word is truth. This is the truth. Are we reading it? John 8, 36, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be what? Free indeed. Now, that's not meaningless repetition there, because Americans, per se, are free, right? We're free, a free nation. But the vast majority of Americans are not free indeed, are they? No. In verse 34, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say to you, whosoever committeth sin is what? The servant of sin. The vast majority of Americans are slaves. Slaves to sin. But the Son will make them free. John chapter 10, verse 9. John 10, 9. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and locked up in bondage. Your Bible says? No. All who have that idea of Christianity that, oh, if you get saved, you're just locked up. You can't have any fun. You can't do anything. They're deceived. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find what? Pasture. That's wonderful to a sheep. Pasture. That's good things. Verse 10, the thief cometh not before to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. And that is what Satan does. He steals, he kills, and he destroys. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have what? Life, and that they might have it what? More abundantly. We don't have to be slaves. We'll see next time that, you know what? When we're adopted into God's family, another problem with adoption is, then if that family, if that couple also has biological children, now you have the trouble with the adopted child, whether that child will be accepted. We'll see next time, Lord willing, that you know what? When we're adopted in God's family, we're also accepted in the Beloved. You don't have to worry about the family of God, the true family of God, rejecting you. Not like the world at all. So today, do you have that abundant life? That abundant life in Christ? Our true, real, biological Creator and Father wants to adopt. And isn't it a shame that He has to adopt His own creation, His own people? Because He is not a Father who has rejected His creation. It's His creation that has rejected Him, but He loves us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. I pray You'd help us, Lord. This world sees things the opposite of the truth so many times. Lord, help us. Help us to be in the word of truth. Help us, Lord, to appreciate how You are willing to adopt us into Your family, to give us an eternal inheritance, to call us sons and daughters when we don't deserve that at all. Father, if there should be any here today who have never been saved, I pray today they would cry out, oh God, I do believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I do believe that He was buried and rose again in victory. I do turn from my sin and bondage to You. I flee to You. to rescue me, rescue my soul from hell. Lord, please use my life. Use me for your glory. That's our prayer today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn, please, to 100.